This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 10th of February 2016 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. Matt Wolfe, theatre critic for the International New York Times, is fresh off the plane from the Big Apple and ready to talk to us about what he saw on the stage in the city. We'll be discussing the 50th anniversary Broadway production of Fiddler on the Roof, the latest reincarnation of Michael Frayn's British theatre comedy, Noises Off, and we'll end at the Samuel J. Friedman Theatre for Linda Lavin's starring role in the Richard Greenberg play Our Mother's Brief Affair. Lots to get through then, all coming up on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Matt. First up, how was New York City?
Well, it was nice when I finally got there because my arrival was impeded for about 48 hours by this record snowstorm that probably
everyone heard about. It does look a little bit chilly over there at the moment, doesn't it?
But what's amazing always about New York, and I'm used to this having grown up there, is that they get inches turning into feet of snow. And yet, I mean, it interrupts things for a while, but not for all that long. So the blizzard was on Saturday. They canceled Broadway shows Saturday. But Sunday matinee, which is a big day on Broadway, everything was up and running. And by the time I got there, which was Tuesday, Wednesday of the week following, it was almost as if it hadn't happened.
Well, indeed. We are going to chat about quite a few Broadway productions this week. So let's begin the show at the Broadway Theatre for Bartlett Sher's adaptation of Fiddler on the Roof. Now, this is the 50th anniversary Broadway staging of this particular play. That's lots of productions. What is the enduring appeal of Fiddler on the Roof, do you think?
Well, there's the enduring appeal of Fiddler on the Roof, which is that it tells a kind of archetypal story of this Jewish family from what was, you know, a kind of Russian shtetl homeland who've been dispossessed. And it's a great story. It's got a great score. I think the enduring appeal of this production, which is a very, very fine production, is that it sort of reinvents the material free of sitcom humor and shtick and the kind of associations with this show. The central character is this kind of put-upon milkman called Tevye, who's got a nag of a wife called Goldie, and they have five daughters, although two of them don't really feature in the story at all. It's as if they've been written out before it begins. And he has this kind of ongoing conversation with God about how he wishes his life could be easier and better and he could have more money and all of that. And a lot of times the role is played for gags. And what's great about this production is that Bartlett Sher, who's a very seasoned director of classic musicals, has got rid of all the gags. It's really played straight. And as a result, you discover something about the material that you hadn't really realized before. It's really very, very truthful, not just sort of shticky.
Now, there's lots of previous productions that this could be compared to. In your opinion, having seen at least some of those, how does this one compare?
Well, I kind of don't want to give away too much, but I will say that there's a very interesting framing device that Bartlett Sher uses to remind the audience that this is a story, although set decades ago, clearly, that has a contemporary resonance. And if you think about the refugee crisis, which is probably the major sort of story of our time, who are these characters in Fiddler on the Roof? They are the refugees of their day. They are the people who are dispossessed from their homeland and sent out into the world. And what became of them, we don't know. We don't get the sequel to it. So what this production does is give you a modern day way of understanding that, which I won't give away, but it's very, very clever. And Bartlett Sher has cast people who aren't always necessarily associated with musicals to play some of the roles. And again, it's as if he's looking for dramatic truth, not just kind of easy laughs.
Sort of dangerous territory when you go into something as iconic as this and you try to modernize it in some way. Now, there's also been some controversy about the choreography as well. Some critics have pointed out that it strays from the original steps and styles of the dance. Would you say that it's a refreshing take on the classic? What are some of your thoughts on whether you should stick so
perfectly to something classic?
That's a good question. I love the choreography. The thing about Fiddler on the Roof, like Gypsy, which was on the West End last year with Imelda Staunton, these are two shows out of many that have choreography by the great late Jerome Robbins, who was one of the sort of pioneering figures of Broadway in the last century. And it's, I mean, Jerome Robbins is long dead, but his estate watches over these things with a vice-like grip, and you tamper with what he did at your peril. But this production has brought in the London-based Israeli choreographer Hafe Schechter to give a very different feel to it. And it's very alive. It's very vital. There are sort of prayer movements folded into it. It's full of kind of images of ecstasy. It's very, very beautiful. And it's got a great sort of kinetic kick.
Well, if you're not in New York right now, you do have plenty of time to catch Fiddler on the Roof. It's playing at the Broadway Theatre until September. Look out for the soundtrack too, which will be released next month by the cast. Now, next up, we are heading to the American Airlines Theatre, who are staging a production of the popular British comedy Noises Off, which takes a behind-the-scenes look at a touring theatre company as they prepare for a rather disastrous performance. Now, this particular reincarnation has been brought together under the beady eyes of director Jeremy Herron, who before this was working on a stage version of Wolf Hall. Matt, does this stay true to the original play?
What's interesting about this is Jeremy Herron and Wolf Hall, you could not have a play that is more different, Wolf Hall and Noises Off. Wolf Hall was a sort of elaborate historical pageant with people dressed to the nines and all rather stately and very dark and a little bit sinister and gloomy. And Noises Off, which dates back to the West End 1982, I seem to recall, is the exact opposite. It takes as its template the kind of cheesy sex farces that London doesn't really have anymore, but they used to, and I remember some of them, and they all had titles like, you know, No Sex Please, We're British, and I Can't Find My Knickers, and that kind of thing. And that's the play within the play. And so you have these very sort of purposeful actors and a very, very serious director trying to put on this ridiculous comedy called Nothing On. And so you get sort of the perspective on Nothing On three different times in each of the three acts. And it is the kind of comedy that requires absolute precision. Because if you make any mistake in the shenanigans, then you end up doing your own version of the chaos that the play describes. So you have to get it exactly right. And I think this cast is pretty wonderful.
Now, the cast has changed, of course, many times since this production started. It was actually on Broadway 13 years ago with In a Run starring Patti LuPone. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like there hasn't been any Broadway show that Patti LuPone has not been in.
Well, Ben, she would love to hear you say that, because I'm sure Patti LuPone would like to think that she is Broadway. And we love Patti. She's never been in Fiddler on the Roof, as far as I know, but never say never. The last time it was on Broadway was interesting. It was in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, and it got a lot of attention at the time because that was obviously a time in New York history where people were, you know, distressed and anxious and worried and angry, and they wanted to laugh, and it gave them an outlet for laughing. Now, you know, the world has moved on, not necessarily better, but anyway, people want to laugh again, and the comedy is serving much the same purpose. The interesting thing about this production is that Jeremy Herron is the only Brit sort of connected with it. All of the actors are North American of some description or other, but I don't think you would know that. They really do a very, very good job. For instance, there's a wonderful character called Brooke, who's forever losing her contact lens, so she spends much of the play on her knees trying to find her contact lens, and she's played by this extraordinary Broadway musical actress called Megan Hilty, who was in the television show Smash. She was the blonde bimbo in Smash, and she's really hilarious in this, and she's the last person I would have thought would be in a show of this nature, but she can pull it off, and she can even do the accent.
That is good to know. Now, when we talk about British versions or American versions of British incarnations, often the American versions don't come off so well, mostly on television, though. What are your thoughts on how that works out in the theatre world?
You mean in general?
In general, yeah.
Well, you know, I do think sometimes, not in the case of Noises Off, I hasten to add, I think sometimes the accent can be a problem. There are so many gradations of British, English, British accent, and Americans tend to think it's either posh or Cockney, and there's nothing in between. And of course, one of the first things you realize when you hop the pond is that there are infinitely many gradations. I do think Brits generally do American accents better than the other way around.
Well, as an Australian who is often mistaken for someone who is British by American people,
I can sort of imagine, Ben, how embarrassing. I wouldn't have done that.
Not at all, Matt. Well, Noises Off is on at the American Airlines Theatre until the 13th of March. And now our final play today is Our Mother's Brief Affair. This Richard Greenberg written production is about Anna, an older woman who confesses a shocking affair to her children as she verges on death. Now, Anna is played by the Broadway legend Linda Lavin. Matt, how is her performance in this one?
Well, she's great. She's probably not as well known to non-Americans as she might be, although she was the star of a much loved by some television series years ago called Alice, based on the movie Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And Linda Lavin played the part that Ellen Burstyn played in the film. And she's a really lovely actress. She's got a very distinctive honk of a voice. Nobody really sounds like Linda Lavin. So when she speaks, it's like listening to something very singular. And I, you know that old cliche about you could listen to them read the phone book? It's really true in her case, because I just absolutely love her voice. At this point, she's 78. She's been nominated for, I don't know, 5 or 6 Tony Awards across the year. She has won once. And she just keeps returning to the well, which is the theater. And she's great in this play. I can't say the play really is her match, unfortunately.
That is a shame, but a distinctive honk of a voice. What a wonderful description of someone.
Yeah, she, I don't know, you sort of feel like she, once they gave her a voice, they threw away that particular mold. And unfortunately for this play, you want her to talk more, because a lot of the narration, and it is absolute narration, is there are these two younger characters who are the Linda Lavin character's children, and they come to the front of the stage and they basically narrate for you what's happening. And you just want to say, can you guys go away and let us listen to your mom? And the title sort of tells you everything you need to know, that her character, the Lavin character, is dying. And on her deathbed, although you get the sense she might have had many of these because she likes to, you know, feign dying. On her deathbed, she lets drop the bombshell that she had an affair. And of course, her children react with kind of predictable surprise. And then I probably shouldn't give away who the affair is revealed to have been with. It's actually a real person. It is somebody you could Google. But it's kind of preposterous. And this happens at the very end of the first act. And the play never really recovers from that. Although Lavin looks great throughout.
Well, that is the important thing. And so with that preposterous angle aside then, how does the story come across in sort of believability stakes? Can you get involved with the story, involved with the characters, and sort of go on the emotional journey?
Well,
with them?
You know, Richard Greenberg is an interesting writer. He just had a great success in London with a terrific production of a play of his called The Dazzle that was done with Andrew Scott, Moriarty from Sherlock at this weird little theater on Charing Cross Road. You have to climb up and up and up. And anyway, a Richard Greenberg play that was done well here. He's had other successes in London. He's incredibly prolific. I sometimes wonder with writers who are as prolific as he is, whether they might have an idea for a play on occasion, but not necessarily the play to go with it. And whereas I love The Dazzle, but this play seems like he got the idea and couldn't quite figure out what to hang the idea on. So the more the play continues, the more strained it seems. And then, without giving too much away, there's the suggestion at the very end of the play that this real person with whom she had this affair might not have been that person anyway. So what's the point if the whole thing is a con?
Well, Greenberg, as you mentioned, is quite a prolific Tony-winning playwright.
Yeah.
Where do you think this one sits in amongst some of his other work?
Oh, this is definitely minor league Greenberg. But if it's an excuse for a major performance from the redoubtable Miss Lavin and an opportunity to hear that voice again, I don't think people will be disappointed. And the audience, I have to say, were certainly there for her more so than for it. And I don't think they went away empty-handed.
Well, if you are listening, Linda Lavin, I think that is Matt Wolfe beckoning you to his attention. That is Our Mother's Brief Affair. It's on at the Samuel J. Friedman Theatre until the 6th of March. And that does bring us to the end of today's show. Special thanks to my guest, Matt Wolfe. You have been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for our weekly book discussion. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.